Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yes, sure do.
Where to begin? I thought we were going to start this episode and Max was going to die in the first 30 minutes. I really did.
Yeah,
it did not go that way.
You know, I wasn't totally sure. So the last, let me be real clear. The only thing that was left were two scouts. And scouts are like CR, I don't know, they're low, they're bullshit monsters. As part of a group, they're useful. If they're stealthy, they're useful. But like Berg could have taken him one-on-one if he could get into melee. However, you were pretty fucked up to begin with, Berg. Yeah. So
it would have been at the mercy of like whether or not they rolled really good, which has happened exactly a bunch of times in the past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it could have very much have been that. But then I was thinking, you know, There's only two of them left. They know that they have a camp in the jungle nearby where they have some supplies. They're going to try to sneak out because they're scouts, right? That's their jam. So they skulked away, climbed up the ladder, the rope you left them, cut the rope. And then they were like, all right, the boss would want us to like kill these intruders. We can always dig this back up. And then they tried to just suffocate you out. They tried to make a tomb for you. But, you know, you're PCs. And they didn't know.
Resilient.
That's right. Yeah.
And really, that was kind of the best thing that ever happened to us.
But had you rushed them, they would have gotten four arrow shots on you.
Yep.
And maybe I would have crit you, and maybe that would have been game over.
Yeah. So,
congratulations on not killing the whole party, Max.
Yeah. Yay. No, I thought long and hard about that one.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah, those were we had a lot of rough decisions in this episode.
Yeah.
That decision, like, the decision that we slept in front of the exploding thing. Mm-hmm. The decision from the fucking animal friendship roll, and then the roll afterwards to save your armor and my armor.
Thank God we did that. Jesus.
In my opinion, you know, as a well practiced long time game master, the only things that make role playing games worth playing are those moments where you have to make hard decisions.
Tough decisions.
Like, everything else is just like icing on the cake. The whole game should be about, if I do this, this could happen. If I do that, that could happen. I have to make a decision, and there's no easy decision. And it can be, do I roll for hit points? It can be, do I take the dodge action? Do I risk that attack? But it can also be, you know, do we sleep here? Do we press on? Like, every moment of the game should be at least a little bit interesting in terms of the decisions you're making. Otherwise, it's just more like, where's the fun, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. The chat was kind of losing their minds over a lot of that stuff, which was kind of ridiculous.
And that's only going to get more and more serious as the game becomes more and more mechanically complex. But
yeah. But yeah, I thought, I don't know, in general, I thought the fights were fun too this time around.
Yeah. Totally. I wanted to include some D&D classics, like the stupid monsters that are slimes and mushrooms and stuff, and they're like kind of deadly but not really. Like, neither of those fights were fights that would have been a problem for you, I guess, unless somehow you like stupidly didn't realize that you were cutting the slimes in half and you accidentally made like eight of them.
I picked up on that pretty fast.
each of them can split once, right? So when you hit them with a slashing weapon or with lightning, which is funny, they split into two parts, each containing half the hit points of the original. And they can do that as long as they have 10 or more hit points and are medium or larger. So they all could have split one more time. There could have been eight from the original too.
God.
Do they split the full HP?
No, like if it has 20, like say it has 25, you hit it for 5 slashing damage, they both would have 10.
Oh.
So it takes the original pool and splits them that way.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dang. And then I guess to talk about the end of the episode was kind of crazy. Were you expecting us all to do that?
I will tell you this. I will let you peek behind the mighty curtain of my game mastering. Basically everything after, I didn't plan on the place getting caved in. I knew that the scorpions had some way in or out, but I didn't figure you'd ever need to use it to get in or out. So I just kind of like spitballed all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, we've got some extra time. And so one of my favorite role-playing games, and I know JP, you probably will disagree with me, but one of my favorite games of its era of the sort of mid-90s is Fallout 2. And Fallout has this thing in Fallout 2 where sometimes when you're wandering around the world map, like, just random shit will happen where you're like, stumble across something in the desert that's like kind of an encounter that teaches you something either about the world at large. Maybe you see some like NCR guys fighting with some Brotherhood of Steel guys, or like you'll find a random ruin or something. And I was like, I've got some ideas about the world. We've got a little extra time. It'd be cool if, because the only people that use this tunnel are stupid scorpions, there's some like ancient buried thing just like hidden right here. Because I know the world is full of these like weird ruins and like the broken off spear of a colossus. Like, I want the world to feel like it has strata. So you've discovered kind of an opportunity to stumble upon essentially like a fossil of the ancient world. Right. So I was like, all right, cool. Let's just like, I know what it is. And let's make up what happened. So I kind of just winged it from there. And I knew that, you know, the role to touch it would have had, and I don't know, maybe you missed this, JP, but between, I was saying, had any of you failed the roles, you would have gotten a boon as well, but at a steep cost equivalent. And if you had failed, just then, like, gotta say a critical fail, something really bad would have happened. So I knew that I wanted to give you everybody a little power bump for kind of finishing this arc. And plus the next arc, I think, is going to be a little on the challenging side, which isn't to say the rest of the game hasn't been, but you know, there'll be some extra cool shit here. Yeah. So I wanted to give you a little juice to go into that.
Like we talked about too, and like you noted, somebody in chat saying, several people in chat saying, you know that feeling in FPS where you find yourself in a giant room stuffed with ammo and health packs? That's all that was going through my mind once you decided the moment you decided to give JP's character, Jubilant, a boon as well, I'm like, okay. Like, yeah, there is a cost for everything.
Like, yeah.
And these are fundamental changes to your characters too. So they'll come back and be, they're a part of your character in the same way a bunch of other things are.
What I guess, Dan, you're set on Find Familiar?
Yeah, because it's as a paladin, I have so few spells, and Find Familiar is a spell that can last multiple days,
and it's a ritual.
If it doesn't die.
Yeah.
And it allows me to do tactical things that I couldn't do like normally as a paladin.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I set up with Raziel. The fucking Bloodhawk was insane.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
And it kind of fits my character because it can be a celestial, so it's going to have the soul of a celestial that will follow me around.
Dude, we should figure out something to do with, like, your sword and, like, calling its spirit forth or whatever as you're familiar, like, embodying Baldur's, like, magic. Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool. Sweet.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would make a lot of sense. Yeah. If you wanted your familiar just to be a flying sword, that'd be okay with me.
Okay.
That'd be kind of weird. You're like holding a sword, but then there's a flying sword next to you.
Yeah. Well, like, maybe you just like let it go and you have another sword, but Baldur is like your familiar. We'll work it out. You figure out what you want, we'll talk it out.
Sure.
Yeah.
The trumpet was a lot of fun. I switched that out when we did our long rest. I finally took spiritual weapon because I realized that enhanced ability just doesn't come into play too often. And spiritual weapon is like super fucking good because it adds an extra attacker basically to our group.
Yeah.
And it rolled super fucking high on damage every time. I think I rolled like 11 and 11, a crit, and then like an 8 or something like that, which is insane damage for that, just as a free bonus action.
If you hit every time, you do insane damage over 10 turns. It's like 100 damage on average.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But it's really a great spell.
Yeah. And then I guess for what item I'm going to choose, you said uncommon and common, right? Those were the parameters?
Yeah, any uncommon or common magic item. Obviously, some don't make sense as a permanent thing, like a healing potion or whatever. But
I mean, I think the one that makes sense RP-wise is to go with the winged boots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, what is that? Why is that so loud? Sorry, I'm editing this VOD. What? Oh, that was me screaming when someone crit. Oh, that was at the very beginning of hour four when I saved against the poison. Or the scorpions, I mean. There's a lot of screaming in that episode.
That was a rough fight.
Yeah, it was. That was a lot of rough stuff in that. I think I'll probably go winged boots. I need to go find my... I don't know where those handbooks, what box those are in. But I want to go look through all of them there. Do they have the full list of everything in there, Adam?
In where the Dungeon Master's Guide?
Yeah, yeah. Is it like...
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to go through all that.
DM got
you just reminded me too.
Dungeon. There's a website. If you haven't got the link already, there's a list of. It doesn't give you what all the items do, but because it's not a book, you can sort it by rarity. So you can just see all of them, and then anything that's interesting to you, it shows you a DMG page number. I linked it in our Skype chat. So okay. This way you can be like, oh, a Helm of Telepathy sounds cool. That's on page 174. You can go and you can read it.
Cool. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it'll show it if you click the items.
Monster manual.
If you click the text, it tells you what it does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go. Cool. All right.
So uncommon, common, and then what about wondrous item? Is that the same thing?
No, that's a rarity. I think so. It can be any. Oh, you just sort by rarity. Don't worry about the type. So armor, ring, scroll, wondrous item.
Because wondrous item is type.
Yeah. Don't worry about type. Worry about rarity. I don't care about type. As long as we can make it a thing that would like apply permanently to your character.
Okay. Yeah. Because winged boots is a wondrous item. I'll probably go with that. But I need to look through them. There's a shit ton.
There's a lot. Yeah.
So I need to look through all that stuff. And then since I hit level 4, I pose a question to the group. Should I get the healer feat so that I could keep us up more?
It's a lot of free healing, or if you take the 2 wisdom, your spells will fail a lot less. Like if you're
it goes up to +4 instead of +3.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of,
I don't know. I don't want to tell you what to do. I mean, we already have healing, but I mean, it's not like more healing is a bad thing. It's dependent, I think, whether or not we actually think we're going to buy health pots more regularly.
Yeah.
That could kind of offset the lack of healing that you don't, if you don't take that.
That's so, true. I mean, that would be out of combat or in combat healing. So yeah, it is fine.
Yeah. Cause I mean the +4 is going to amp everything up.
And your heals for more since you add the modifier to it.
Yeah. Yeah. All the base level heals, we get a plus, +1 to
plus
everything.
+4.
Yeah, I'll probably go plus wisdom. I'll think about it though. I'll definitely tell you, Adam, before before Tuesday. And I'll look through the items probably later tonight. I might even do that on stream. And then Max, you got a fucking like lifesteal, man. That's like a really good ability.
I am so happy about mine. It does 1d4 necrotic damage and also gets lifesteal back by that damage. Yeah.
So every attack gives you back one to four health. And plus, if you're in your frenzy mode, you're making 2 attacks around. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really,
and I mean, I'm not. It's one of those things where I'm not worried about like unbalancing you because it's really easy for me to just make things more difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not worried about it at all.
Or give it some sort of nasty side effect.
Yeah, I mean, all I gotta do is fail fucking poison save like 5 times in a row, like I did.
You're now a vampire.
Yeah, which would be fun for sure. That'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, I don't know. How do you guys think the dynamics is gonna shift with Morgan? I've never interacted with Morgan, so I have no idea what she's like as a player. And I don't know.
I must say, like, I much preferred four players in combat. I think it gives a lot more dynamic to our side of the fight. But yeah, like I'm excited to see what she brings to the table. I have no idea what her character is. So it's going to be a surprise to see what she is, who she is, what kind of character she is, and how we interact with each other.
Yeah. I watched the character creation video, so I know what type of character she is. Okay. And I'm really curious to see how it's going to fit into the party roleplay wise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll be fun. I don't have any like worries really.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't have any worries.
I think all of us are pretty adaptable and you know,
totally. Totally. Yeah. So we'll see that starts on Tuesday.
Either way, it'll be exciting. And I know, fans of the show and of her in general, are excited. I mean, I'm excited. I grew up watching X-Play and all that stuff too. So I'm excited to see what kind of character she makes and you know, what kind of personality type her character is and all that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, and how she deals with the harshness of Adam's world.
Yeah. I think that's honestly my favorite thing of anybody that comes on the show. It's just recognizing and actually like absorbing how fucking punishing and brutal this world is.
Does it make you feel good about how now you know how to deal with it? And
yes.
Like, no,
yes,
okay.
It does, Adam. It does make me feel good.
That's totally fine. It's just
the
like
seasoned veteran.
You look at someone, you watch everybody, because I think you can, if you go back to watch when Zawaz was as died, there's a moment where like Sean is like, what? And you're all just
he's processing it. He's just like, really?
And You're all nodding like, yep, welcome. Welcome to the club.
See that exact moment where he gets it. He's like, oh, it's that kind of game.
I should have taken this perhaps a little more seriously.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
And then I like that he just randomed his character and never hit a shot for the rest of the fucking show.
Yeah.
I've hit, like, I think my crossbow shots are...
Yeah, you've killed, like, you got the killing blow on several enemies already.
Yeah.
It's which is crazy.
Yeah, it works. I'm happy with that. That's why I almost want to, like, if I was to get the, there's a sharpshooter crossbow, or sharpshooter feat that would be a lot of fun, because I can add extra damage to, and I could also, I guess, get Archer the same thing that Sean did, where he gets an additional whatever to his attacks, but it's probably just better go Wisdom and just play the character how it's supposed to be instead of trying to make fringe bullshit like that. So, anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap it up?
No, I think I loved having that lore dump, learning a little bit more about, you know, things that we've only got little smidges of info about and glimpses into.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of shit that I can include in the game now and continue to drop little hints, but that, like, honestly, I can envision not having to come, like, fully clean about it till you're all, like, level 15 or whatever, because it's so, like, cosmic level shit.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, you guys are Spider-Man, and this is like, cool, the Silver Surfer flies by, and you're like, okay, I'm still Spider-Man, though. Bye.
Yeah.
Say hi to Galactus for me. I'll be down here on Earth. Yeah. But that stuff is fun. Like, I'm layering for the future. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. I've had several encounters with these kind of creatures with the different characters, which is cool.
I'm digging it.
I'm excited.
Yeah. One last question. Someone in the chat was asking what the next, like, level barrier is. Is it going to be 5, Adam, when everyone reaches 5?
I'm thinking right now, I've put some thought into it, but I'll probably, like, figure it out as I go. But I'm thinking probably what makes sense is, like, 1, 3, 5, 10, 8.
Oh, okay.
1, 3, 5, 8, 9, or 10. And then depending where that goes, like 12, 15, 20. But we'll kind of hit the next one as we go. But I think 5 will probably be the next.
I think level 10 is honestly going to be like fucking episode 100. Like, that's so long a ways.
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, the pacing, the game is going to be totally different. Like, between 5 and 8 is like a whole different game than 1 and 5.
Yeah, of course.
In terms of mechanics and, like, all the shit your characters will have, and making new characters will be complicated because I'm gonna have to figure out, not just, like, because if you're just making a character, you just follow the progression where you're like, level 1 does this, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 8. But I also have to compensate for the fact that the level 8 characters that have been, like, if Berg is still around at level 8, Berg has accumulated, like,
he's got
a magic vampire power,
yeah,
a +2 hammer. Like, the characters change in play, but the game doesn't really, I'll have to give you a budget, and then new players, especially if players haven't played D&D before, Christ, it's going to be like, cool, so you've never played Dungeons & Dragons, make an 8th level character, you have 10,000 gold to spend on magic items, pick these magic items.
Yeah,
like,
that's rough.
So I'm gonna have to figure out a way to make that not
some way to make
insane.
It a little more, yeah.
Yes, when we get there, which is again like a fun challenge of doing this not only as a role playing game but as a show, because we have people on the show that maybe don't have the same like level of experience, and we have to keep in mind that we might only get them for 2 or 3 episodes. So it's, I don't know, it's fun. I think it's a really cool thing that we're able to have to like bend D&D that way to make it something different.
And I'm sure as a longtime DM, it's interesting and fun when you were presented that sort of challenge to try to make it work.
Totally. Yeah. I love it. That's the thing. Like, if we were just playing like straight up like Dungeons and Dragons by the book with nothing else going on, yeah, I'd get boring fast. But right now, we're in the thick of it. I really like it. I like making D&D do different things.
Yeah. I'm
yeah,
looking at some of the legendary items. These are really weird.
The like the higher.
Yeah, like legendary rarity items, like sovereign glue. You can glue two things together, and then they are stuck unless you have the universal solvent.
Universal solvent. Yeah.
Or the oil of etherealness, or a wish spell. Like, what in the what would you ever use? Like,
what a way to use a wish spell! My God.
You can glue any two objects together and they just become one object. Yeah. There's a lot
of
weird magic items.
What the fuck is the use of that? That's so weird.
I mean, you can glue a door shut forever. You can glue an enemy to a wall and they will never escape ever again. Like, you, I don't know, man.
Did you, like, craft weapons with that?
Only in the sense that you can craft anything with super glue. Like, I take a sword and I glue it to the end of this stick.
Well, I'm just saying, like, at that level, like, who knows? Maybe you've encountered some sort of rune or gem that has magical properties and imbues something that touches it. You know what I mean? So you just glue that to the, like, sword or something.
Yeah, it's a very strange position to be in with a lot of those items. And I think that's just the case. Like, D&D gets weirder and weirder as you get higher and higher level. You start getting some very strange stuff going on. The interactions between spells and abilities. Like, I mean, I was talking to somebody about the Vorpal Sword the other day.
Yeah.
It's a +3 attack and damage sword. Listen to this, Max. Think about this weapon in Berg's hands. All right.
Yeah, okay. The Vorpal Sword's kind of legendary.
You've piqued my interest.
It's any sword. It can take any sword that deals slashing damage. So imagine like a two-handed, like a great sword or something.
Yeah.
+3 bonus to attack and damage. Ignores any resistance to slashing damage. When you attack a creature that has at least one head with this weapon and you roll a 20, you cut off one of the creature's heads. The creature dies if it cannot survive without that lost head. A creature is immune to this effect if it's immune to slashing damage, doesn't have or need a head, has any legendary actions, or the GM simply decides the creature is too big for its head to be cut off with this weapon. Such a creature instead takes 6d8 extra slashing damage from the hit.
Wow. Jesus, fuck. Like,
on a trick, D&D like, gets dumb at level 20, man. It gets dumb.
It's
crazy.
I just cut its head off. So combine that with shit like the Belt of Giant Strength where you have 29 strength.
Jeez.
You just put it on. You're just like, boop, 29 strength. Vorpal sword.
Yeah. Man. I'm trying to think.
It gets bananas.
Berg, it would be a god.
Well, at level 20, you basically are a god. God level, yeah.
You're just also fighting, like, similarly.
You'd be amazing, too, as if Berg somehow encountered something that gave him, like, brains. Fucking scarecrow kind of thing. You know?
Yeah.
You have 20 intelligence, Berg.
I only had a brain. Suddenly Berg is like a professor, like recounting days when he was a simpleton.
Yep. Yeah. It's so like for example, though, by the same extension, if I was building an encounter for the three of you and you were level 20.
It's probably multiple dragons, right?
Yeah. At level 20, the three of you, let's do like a random daily encounter. Yeah. Two silver dragons, two young silver dragons and two aboleths or like. Four giants or like it gets to be pretty two fire giants and two guardian nagas. Ancient dragons are scaled for 20th level. You're fighting like demons. It's some pretty serious shit once you get up there. And that makes my job harder too, because then I have to deal with the fact that all these monsters have like lair effects and like weird actions they can take. I'm actually really interested to see how far we get level wise playing.
Yeah. Oh,
game,
totally, yeah.
There's some interesting things that shift and change as we go through the levels.
Yeah. Also, I was just thinking of like normal NPC encounters where people are like, "How dare you? I'm such and such," and we're just like,
"You're like, I literally have the hammer of Thor. I tap you in the head with it, you blow up." Also, the entire city block is leveled.
This allows to talk so much more shit and be able to back it up.
Yeah,
I would think most characters that level are really pompous.
Well, and that's the funny thing is that like, and this inevitably happens to me every time I play like a Bethesda game where I'm like in the early town and everyone's lipping me off and I'm like, you wait till I have power armor, I'm gonna come up
exactly
back and fuck you up. And at the end of every game, I'm like, all right, the main quest is done. Let's go. And
time.
I go back to that starting town. I'm just like, this is what you get.
Yeah.
But yeah, PCs are like that. Like you're gonna come back to like the Shulin Valley and find Kukrit and just be like, what's up, man? I'm level 20 now, so.
Yeah.
Take this bracer off. No? All right, you're dead. I've killed you 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I've cut off my own arm in front of you and grown it back.
I mean, we might be at the level where you could probably just go back and kill Kukrit, but we'd have to answer to someone above Kukrit, most likely.
Yeah, about something.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Let's just kill all the quarter swords. We'll be fine.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why the show is called that, because it's the name of the last boss.
I was just saying that this is also another episode that just shows, it's another significant point on the timeline of Court of Swords, that Berg is an everlasting character, apparently, who cannot fucking die.
And die. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, at least if he does die, he's got a legacy behind him now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. All right, I think we're good. I think we're good for next episode. So I will see you guys on Tuesday. I gotta go get some food. It's fucking 11 there. I don't like late shows.
It's late. Yeah,
I've been munching, trying to be discreet off camera and stuff.
Yeah, late shows suck. Let's never do another late show.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of scheduling stuff that like NGDC.
Didn't we do Swan Song at 5 o'clock Pacific like every week?
And then that's why towards the end of that show, I was so fucking done with it. I was just tired every episode. Nonstop.
Yeah. It was nice to get it done earlier, and then
we just have energy. Yeah, like when we normally do Court of Swords, it's like I've been up for maybe 2 hours or 3 hours, and so I come to the show with energy. That's why whenever after an episode, when Dan goes back to streaming for like 4 hours, I'm like, what in the fuck, man? Like,
sometimes I'll do it, but most of the time now when we have a show, I just don't stream.
I'm gonna do it because I want to play Zelda so bad tonight. But if it's like a game I'm not really into, I'm like, fuck that. I'll just go play Dota and sit in my underwear all night. Like, I'm not even going to fucking mess around with streaming it. But
thankfully, Sundays, they usually take off anyways just because it's weekend. So
yeah. Zelda's good, though. Zelda warrants a late night set. I was up till 6 last night, so I'll probably do the same.
You know that 6 is a morning time, right, JP?
Nighttime. Yeah. It's great. It's great when I'm going to sleep and people are texting me about work. And I'm like, I can't respond. I'm going to sleep.
I am asleep. I'm not responding.
Yeah,
I don't expect responses from most people, but especially JP until like afternoon. Because I'm like, it's cool. He's probably up playing Zelda. Yep. Well, enjoy your Zelda-ing. Enjoy your Breath of the Wind.
Yeah, I'm gonna go play. Awesome. All right,
see you guys in a couple of days.
Yeah, we'll see you guys on Tuesday. Yep. Good episode. We're out, guys. Bye bye. Thanks for the support. You're on Patreon. Bye. Peace. Later.
Bye, later.